Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
We're still here.
Somehow, some way, we're still here.
The baby's still in my belly.
For now.
For now. I mean it's down
to days.
Any second.
Hours.
Sarah is in the studio. Our beloved Sarah Cruz is in the studio, as I like to call her, Sarah Gretzky.
That's what
I have you as my phone.
I know.
But she just felt my contraction because I was like, oh, I'm having a contraction. And you felt the difference.
Yeah, but it's freaking me out.
You're going to be okay.
I don't know.
I've
been so stressed the last week.
But I feel like, why do people get so freaked out about, because I know a few other people that are so freaked about babies and bellies. Like even you, like to this morning when I put your hand on me, I was like, oh my God, feel this.
Feeling it's not as bad. It's when you see it and it looks like an alien coming out of you.
Is he fist pumping me? Like,
yeah.
Literally, yeah. I think it's when you can't relate. Like when you try and talk to guys about like a period, you know? No, like that's why it freaks me out because I can't because I didn't pay attention. And
you want to be a mom though?
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, it went from like soft and then it got hard and then I'm afraid you're going to pee it out.
That's right. Yeah. Remember Sarah and I went to Vegas. Yeah. That was so much
that
fun.
That was so fun.
I heard Radio Festival and she goes,
I was just home taking care of our daughter. And, you know.
You were on a golf trip.
Actually, I was.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
I was.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, with your dad. That's right. So, no, you weren't home taking care of the kid, babe.
On a very expensive golf trip.
Yeah. But Sarah is like just standing out the window.
Oh,
I thought she was going to have something like really just like special to say.
Well, I was. I was literally. No, you went to the bathroom and then you came out. And while you were in there, I was just thinking.
Yeah, and this is the thought that came to Sarah's brain. Would you like to say, or do you actually want to re-say what you said? Or
I mean, I literally stand by it. I was curious if you ever felt, or if someone has ever pooped out their baby.
What? And that was exactly my response back. What? Why would you think you can't poop? First of all, your poop hole is different than your vagina hole.
I understand that. However, it's all just. I don't know. You're squatting. Things are happening. Don't you like pee yourself sometimes and you don't know?
Well, sometimes. Yeah, that can happen.
I just didn't know, you know.
You're saying like, it's all attached somewhere.
I don't know.
So when I'm pushing like out my poop, you're afraid that I'm going to push my baby out.
Yes.
No. Mark, why are you nodding your head over there?
I just see what she's saying. That's all. I'm just trying to back her up because I get it.
Yeah, you're using the same muscles to push out your poop and your baby.
Well, and isn't it like.
It's not like your baby's going to come through your butthole.
I'm like hiking up.
She literally just put her like leg on.
I just feel like it's like ready position.
Also,
I mean, he is head down.
There's news reports of women giving birth in bathroom stalls.
That's crazy.
I assume that's what happened.
Yes.
They pushed too hard.
I mean, you're a lot stronger than you think.
It is true.
That is true.
You know what I would love if you pooped out your baby? That would be great. I just think that would be just a great 360 karma.
Mm. I mean,
switching gears.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's obviously been a total devastation here in California with the wildfires, and our hearts go out to all the family members and the houses and just everything that Northern California and here in Southern California that, you know, people have been dealing with the fires. Sarah has an interesting story that happened to her regarding the fires.
Yeah, it was crazy. So the night before was actually the shooting at Borderline, devastating.
By the way, I live there in Thousand Oaks.
You live in Thousand Oaks?
And the shooter lived a block away from us.
No.
Stop.
Yeah.
My boyfriend.
Did you ever meet him?
We never met him and didn't know his mom or anything, but I know the house. Like when I saw the house, I was like, oh yeah, I walk past that house walking my dog every single day.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't seen the news around the parents. How were they?
The main thing with this guy seems to be, although now high school friends of his are saying he was aggressive in high school, but a lot of people are saying that he was a Marine, and when he got back, he was not the same anymore, and we all know that different people react differently to that level of trauma.
And he was infantry, like machine gun handler, he was in it.
Yeah, so I don't know how much you blame the mom, how much, like I think there's a natural instinct to blame him or the mom or somebody or society or whatever it is. I don't know who to blame in this situation.
It's just sad.
It's just so sad. All around sad.
Yeah. Ty's from there and his family lives there. So the night before we woke up to, I mean, I had 15 missed calls. And you panic. I mean, I don't, I know what my mom would always say, like, you know, when you get a phone call in the middle of the night, it's just never, And I'm like, what could be going on? And it was his mom calling us, you know, are you okay? Is everyone okay? Telling us about the shooting. And then the next night, we wake up again to so many phone calls and our dogs are going crazy. And then I started freaking out. I'm like, is there an earthquake? What's going on? And I go to our front door and his whole family is there.
Wayne Gretzky is standing
yes,
at the front door.
Yes. His whole family showed up to our apartment, which is not very big. And they're like, we had to evacuate the fire. And it was just like, oh, it's just so much. And it's one of those things where you never think it could happen. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm making coffee. It was 3 a.m.
How does Wayne Gretzky like his coffee?
He, oh my God. So I
do you have to make him breakfast too? Is he like, I want two scrambled eggs?
No, they were actually the best. Because Ty and I were like, make yourselves at home.
By the way, it wasn't just Wayne. It was Wayne.
It was Wayne and his mom and his two little siblings and his uncle and the tennis coach. And so
all
we
show up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. And they were like, we had to evacuate. We got on the road. We got out of there. And so I made them coffee. He likes it with half and half,
okay.
But I accidentally put in sweet cream.
How dare you?
He literally goes,
sweet cream with the great one?
He goes, this is the best coffee ever. And Janet goes, what did you put in it? And I go, sweet cream. And she goes, well, the Wayne, that's why. I was like, he goes, I said half and half. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if we have nothing in our, I mean, we don't have anything. But they were so nice. I mean, Ty and I were like, okay, we went back to sleep and then we woke up and his mom got us flowers and like she stocked our fridge.
Sweet.
And I was like, really?
That's such a parent thing to do.
I know, but I'm like, you guys are the one like, I mean, they didn't sleep at all. They stayed up all night watching the news, tracking it because they couldn't even.
Yeah, because they don't want their house to.
They couldn't even think. And then, of course, they're just, you know, parents.
And is
and
their
house
okay?
Yeah, their house is fine. They're okay. They've been there.
Their neighborhood? Because we've been in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
any house in that neighborhood?
No, but it was crazy. His brother was putting up videos. So remember the lake? I don't know if you guys saw the lake. Did you see the lake?
Yeah,
the lake.
So they were getting, helicopters were going in there and getting water.
Yeah, they had the big long tubes
that
come down.
And it was
up,
crazy because his brother was like documenting it on Instagram all day yesterday.
Wow.
But it was crazy. But it changes so much. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, everything lifted and they're fine to be there now.
I felt like, I mean, even with just the shooting and the fires, I felt so helpless, like not being able to do something. Like I wanted to be able to.
It's the worst feeling. We were talking. I mean,
I know. Yeah, you came over.
I was there.
You came over that next morning, and I was like, man, I know I'm like 10 months pregnant, basically, but I wish I could go help put out fires. But you just kind of feel so helpless, sitting in your cozy little home.
Yeah,
with our Christmas decorations
up.
You know,
it's like it's the similar feeling of like if you go to a third world country, right, and do like a charity thing, like we've gone to, you know, Honduras and stuff like that. And then you come back, you feel guilty for having what you have when really you should just appreciate it more. It's like the same thing. It's like we feel bad, you know, we're just talking outside here about people who, you know, they have homes and they're the only four homes at the entire neighborhood that, you know, didn't catch fire. It's like, do you feel bad walking into your house? You know, you can only do so much to give back to people.
It's a heavy feel. I feel like it's just a heavy feeling for everyone.
It is. It is.
And it's so.
Speaking of Honduras, do you remember when we took out the water? The water capsule in the shower because we wanted more water to come out.
What?
You're a terrible person.
For what? Bringing that up? Or are you not remembering?
For you telling me to do that? This is all you're doing?
I was like, there's not enough water dripping
basically,
on
there's
me.
Like, there's like water restrictors in like this hotel that we were in. And Jana's like, I need more.
Oh,
I was like,
I know.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to donate at all and help out with people out here suffering from the fires, if you text the words Red Cross to 90999, that's an automatic $10 donation. Just, you know, to help. Every little bit helps at this point. People have lost everything, lots of people. So, again, text Red Cross to 90999.
Yeah, when you're drinking your $10 latte from Starbucks, you could have given that to the fire people.
Yes.
Yes.
Make people feel guilty for drinking their morning coffee.
I know. That's what we just talked about. Shoot.
No, we were so guilty.
Hey, Sarah, you still don't have a ring on your finger.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Moving on.
That being said.
All right. So one of the things that Michael and I are now loving in our house is our Amazon Fire TV. So it brings all the live and streaming content you love to the biggest screen in your house. So you can watch everything you love with access to Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, and so much more. And with our baby on the way, We're trying to binge as much as we can right now, so it's great. And you can even watch YouTube videos and access websites like Reddit and Facebook on Fire TV. There's makeup tutorials, Michael, if you want to like watch any of those.
Sure.
To cake icing videos, to all the new drama that's all the buzz, whatever you're into, it is on Fire TV.
Cooking videos, if you want to watch some of those.
Exactly. And you can just be like, hey, Alexa, open YouTube. I mean, I just think that's great because you can have everything in your house just working together. And if that wasn't enough, you can listen to this podcast and music with the iHeartRadio app on Fire TV. So, hey, head over to www.amazon.com/winddown. Again, that's amazon.com/winddown to order a Fire TV of your very own. And they make great gifts for your friends and family this holiday season.
Hey, do you want to bring up real quick what we talked about? Remember you said you saved for the podcast?
So something happened the other day where, okay, we've heard that when you have a sibling with a baby to always bring the gift for the sibling.
The older sibling.
I've heard.
And not to go straight to the baby. So when our baby boy comes, you know, people don't go straight to the baby. You say hello to Jolie first, and that we should keep presents on hand for Jolie because no one's going to bring presents for Jolie. Yeah. So we have a friend that just had a new baby, and they've got two girls.
And this is their third.
This is their third. And so I was like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for us to be able to bring the presents for their two girls on top of their baby, you know? And so, go ahead.
And this is an old work buddy of mine, okay, a friendship that I value. And I asked Jana, I said, hey, when you go get something, because she was running out to this little cute store by our house to get something for the infant, I said, hey, can you just grab a bag, like just like a present bag to put these other presents in? Because I didn't want to show up in like the store bag that we got them in, like plastic bag. I don't want to carry them by themselves. I just wanted a nice bag.
It's a little effort.
Just to carry in. Just that's it. I don't want to like carry the two presents under our arms.
Yeah.
And Jana didn't get one.
Because what? There's no reason. Okay.
But I didn't ask, real quick. Okay. And I was thinking about this yesterday. And I actually kind of like,
it bothered you.
It really did bother me because I was
there
like,
there was a little tension in the car.
It didn't, I wasn't asking, like, what do you think? Should we do this? I asked her, can you please get this bag?
Yeah.
I would like to put these other presents for the girls in this bag.
But we already went out of our way to get a present for them. It doesn't matter. The girls don't care that they're wrapped or in presents. It's just,
it wasn't about that. I asked you for something.
I understand that, but it's just, and I get that, and I apologize that I didn't, because you did ask me for what you wanted, but I didn't do it, and I should have just done it. But in my head, I'm like, we went out of our way to get them presents for the girls. I have the other stuff wrapped, really pretty.
Yeah.
So, you know, who cares if the little Barbie doll play sets for the two girls aren't wrapped? They're just gonna be happy that they got something. But then he was just, you know, again, he's like, but
because
I asked for.
So did you not do it because you like didn't feel like it, or you were tired, or you didn't have time?
No, just didn't think that it was important.
Which again, I wasn't asking for opinion. Yeah, I asked her
you
for
asked
something.
Her to do it.
Please get this while you're at the store. You didn't, and so, but I appreciate you apologizing today, because when we went over it, she didn't apologize.
Well, I feel like
she
it's
just
one
said,
of those things.
I just
now
didn't
that
think
you
we needed it.
Think you know, because if you would have asked him, I'm just in the middle because I'm the same. Like if Ty
Sarah.
Would you be that mad or no?
Yes, she would.
I would be mad because I asked for what I wanted and I didn't. Because there's times when he's like, "Let me grab." Like, I'm like, "No, I don't need you to carry this. Like, I got it. I'll ask you if I need something."
Like, are you mad that you asked her to do something and she didn't, or are you mad that it didn't look nice and it wasn't pretty and wrapped?
It came down to I was mad that I asked her straight out what I wanted and needed. Mm-hmm. And then she used her own opinion about it and decided against it. And I was like, I didn't ask for your opinion. I just asked you to get this, a $2 bag.
So I'm psycho because I think I would be mad that it didn't look pretty and nice and perfect.
But who cares?
I know.
We didn't have to bring the presents.
I know.
The presents
it
weren't
was
for
nice.
Really them. It was a nice gesture that we even brought the presents that we thought that. Nobody else would bring presents for the toddlers.
Yeah.
We were bringing presents for the baby.
You already
but we
went
just,
above and beyond.
Yeah. So I'm like, why get the stupid bag with the fluff? They don't care.
I
They're
guess
toddlers.
What I need more is stupid.
Oh,
this is a great transition into our guest
Hillary,
today. Hillary Goldster is here with us.
And we have, can you help us? Because we clearly need a little issue. We have a little issue here. And
give our listeners kind of your background real quick so they can understand how awesome you are.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Hillary Golcher, and I have a private practice in Beverly Hills. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, and I work a lot with couples, and I work a lot with couples in the public eye. And I work on other stuff too, trauma and anxiety, depression, eating disorders, parenting stuff, all sorts of things. So I have a practice in Beverly Hills, and I do a lot of media stuff, sort of local media and the news, CNN, Fox. I'm commenting on various psychological issues from a therapist's perspective.
Fantastic.
How could I have done better? Should I have just gotten the bag, even though I didn't agree with the extra few bucks that we should have spent because we already went above and over? Like, because he asked for it, should I have just done it?
You know, I think we have to step back for a moment because I think it's more of a goodwill issue. That's kind of what's coming up for me because it, like, from the outsider, it's kind of such a small thing.
Yeah.
Right. But if there were enough goodwill between you two, and like, this is my first time with you. I know a little bit about your history from listening to a couple of the last podcasts. So that's a limited view, but still. That if there were a little more goodwill, this would come easier for you two. You know what I mean?
Like, totally get it.
He would have said, yeah, I'd prefer them this way. And you would have been like, okay, because like there's enough emotional like money in the bank that it doesn't trigger you. You know what I mean? And there's enough goodwill where you're like, it's not important to me. It's important to him. So nobody
I'm not going to choose this time to stand my ground to be like, this is ridiculous.
Right. And it seems like there's enough tension between you guys in the last period of your life that there's not an immediate goodwill that you lean into.
We're depositing in the bank more and more now. Yeah. But that's a great point.
Right. That's what it sounds like you guys are on the upswing.
But
I mean, like, you know, so your question, I mean, sure, probably. Yeah. Maybe you should have done that since he specifically
sought out to say,
hey, this might seem small to you. Well, maybe you didn't say it like this, which might be a good way to say it. But like, hey, this might seem small to me, but small to you, but it's important to me. Can we just figure out a way to do this kind of thing?
You're also like 100 months pregnant. Like, in your defense, I don't know, maybe you just
Now she goes back to Sajana. She couldn't leave her.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's just like
I think and that's where the goodwill piece comes in, you know what I mean? Because it can go either way. Like, if there were enough goodwill between you two and she had been like, no, you might have been like, you know what, okay.
Like, and it's not like it was a present for them. It's not like it's a birthday present for them. It was just an extended, awesome offer nice gesture that we did anyways on top of it. Yeah. That why did it have to have bells and whistles on it?
Yeah.
We already went above and beyond. We're also bringing food over there to cook for them. We're also doing A, B, and C. Like, why do I have to get a stupid bag with stuff on it? Sorry.
Mike, it's just stupid. Okay?
No, I don't know.
How dare I?
No, it's just. But again, you asked for what you wanted, and if it was something that I wanted, then I would have been bummed too. If I asked for 12 lemons and you only bring me 6 lemons, I'm gonna be upset.
Same. Exactly.
Well, I feel like for this period of time for you guys, as you're in the rebuilding process, like when one of you takes the risk to ask for what you want, whether it's like about, you know, the bag and how it's dressed, or whether it's like in the bedroom or something, when someone does that, that it's really important for this period of time to be hypersensitive to that. Like, ding, he did that. I need to take a minute and like step outside of myself and make sure I attempt at least to like adhere to his request because he did that. You know what I mean?
I totally get that.
And that at some other point down the line, 6 months, a year or whatever, there'll be more goodwill between you guys where it's like, you know what? We have some room to play here. Like, I'm going to fight back today because I'm 100 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And I'm grabbing. I just don't feel like doing it. And you were like, you know what? She's 100 months pregnant. And she's grabbing. She doesn't feel like doing it. You just don't have like a lot of like rubber band between you two right now.
Yeah. You know? And that's true. Too, it just because I get upset when I'm like, I've asked you for what you need and you didn't. So it's like once we kind of build those up a little bit more, then it won't be like you should say, then we're gonna have some like good wiggle room.
That's right. It won't be like this forever where you can never have a day where you're like, I just can't be the hero in this moment. I just can't step up, even though it's a small request, and where you're like, okay, she's just moody and but it's fine, I can let it go.
Which is funny because we've acknowledged that we're starting to get better at that.
Yeah.
Where we really are, where we're just kind of like, we're not digging at if someone's, we can feel attention or, you know, there's something that was said. We don't dig at each other as much. We're just kind of let it be. It's like, all right, well, we'll revisit this later.
Yeah. Switching gears really fast, Sarah, I really want you to get your opinion.
Yes.
Or her, what's going on with your.
I just had a question because I feel like this is a big issue. Like, you know, you're always hearing about people dating people that their parents or their friends or their families don't approve of. I'm not in that situation. Just saying. But I'm just wondering, because like for Mike and Jana, you know, she went through something. I'm sure she told her family what went down, you know.
My friends.
Your friends.
My family.
You got people involved emotionally, however, you know, whatever. How, what is the process when she gets, when she makes the decision, she and Mike, you know, what is the process of her now saying, okay, everyone, everything I said, I still feel or I don't feel, or do you know what I mean? Like, how are people supposed to go from
basically hating Mike to not hating Mike?
Extreme. From
so,
one extreme.
So this person has said a bunch of bad stuff about the person that she's either with, and then now is like, never mind, he's working on himself, so y'all need to like him, is basically the gist of this situation.
Like, yeah, in that scenario, what... I guess I just want to understand
and you're
that
one,
scenario.
And just to clarify, because I don't, Jana knows your situation. I don't.
Well, she's kind of in the middle of something.
So, but you're one of the outsiders who now you're supposed to change your opinion of this person.
Not even change opinion. I just want to understand.
They want this. They want her.
I want
to be back on board.
I just
want to
understand the flip switch.
Okay.
And whether, I mean, I even have talked to Jana. I've heard her to, you know, just in general, like, I'm just curious. What are we supposed, you know, when you know so much, how do you unknow it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there is such a thing as a flip switch. That would be like an unreasonable expectation, because the person asking you for that courtesy didn't have a flip switch either. Mm-hmm. They went through a whole process, whatever the process was. They went through therapy. They consulted friends. They consulted family. They saw a pastor, right? I mean, they didn't flip a switch. Mm-hmm. They, over a period of time, made a decision. And so I can't imagine that someone could also flip a switch or could flip a switch in any scenario, really. So to me, I mean, it depends which side you're looking on. If it's Jana telling her friends, so I've made a decision, I'm continuing my life with Mike, you know, to acknowledge, like, I know this might be hard. Like, you were on this road with me, and it looked like it was going to go a different direction. There were a lot of feelings, a lot of things happened, and some of them were amazing, some of them were awful. And it might be really hard to, like, turn the emotional car around and come on this journey with me, but I'm asking you to. And I acknowledge that it might be at your own pace. It might not be right along with me, and I'm okay with that kind of thing.
I guess it's just, like, what's the borderline between supporting and then
Got it. Yes. Well, there is. I mean, if there's something abusive going on, either mentally, verbally, or physically, that's a different scenario. Like, all bets are off.
Yeah.
In that case,
if the person has done that, then it's going to be hard for the other people to be on board with that relationship when you know A, B, and C.
I just wonder how, you know, it's so hard, especially in this time. Like, you know, everything's so sensitive and everything's so political. And it's just like, how do you be supportive and how, you know, without hurting feelings or without saying too much or not saying enough? And, you know, even I didn't know Jana at the time that she went through everything they were going through. I mean, I met her a year and a half ago, but even then it's like, I feel like all you can really do is just kind of stand by and listen. But like, how much is enough?
I think you can say out loud to the people that you're dealing with that, like, I need to see a history of positive, healthy, non-toxic behavior for me to be on board.
You just look forward.
Yeah, and that's not where I am right now. Yeah. I'm going to follow your lead in terms of understanding that you're moving forward with this person, and I'll stand by in support of you. But I need to see a history for me as an individual to be on board.
I like that.
And I was kind of telling him, or when I was talking to Sarah about this, I was saying, you know, with Michael, not everybody was on board the day I said I'm staying with Michael. It took months, years.
No,
you know,
especially
because
there's never one day that you said I'm staying with Mike.
Right, but it's a so I'm like, see the process, and if he looks like he's changing and continuing to grow, then that's your okay. He is trying. He is becoming the man that he says he's going to be in this relationship.
Okay.
So, but for the person to be, you know, it's this or either support or not support. It's a little aggressive with the situation, I think, that
And I think everyone's different, too. Everyone has their ways of dealing with whatever they are dealing with. I just think that I've seen that in a lot of friends and family and people I know where they're with people that maybe the others don't. It's hard when you care about someone to...
That you don't maybe approve of.
Yeah.
Yes.
How long has it been since things are trying to turn to the other direction? Like, how long have you been expected now to get on board?
Not long.
Okay.
It, yeah.
But because it's
but
that
she
fresh,
just like
that's
heard a
just...
lot of bad stuff.
Right.
I just, was just like, wait, what?
I just feel like even I keep bringing it back to Jana because that's really the only like other. I just feel like when it's a whole lot going around and there's a lot of people involved, which I'm sure there was a ton of people involved mm-hmm. with you. I just don't know, like, when is too much, like, do I step in, do I step back, do I watch, do I sit? You know, I just don't know. And I think a lot of people don't know, when do I fully voice my...
I mean, I'll say this for my friends. I know there was a couple times where I'm like, that's it, I'm done, I'm leaving. And then I, you know, we worked on it. And then there was another instance that happened where I called them, told them. And then I knew that I had to leave because I've now just told so much that I would be crazy not to leave. And they would, I know what they would say. And, but then when I said I was still staying, you know, I know what my girlfriends thought, but they, at the end of the day, they still love me. And they're like, I mean, we disagree with you, but yeah. We love you and we'll support you.
Cause that's what I think is hard. You don't want to make that, like you, if we were friends in that time, I would not want to make you feel okay, I just told her this, so now I can't tell her this, but now I want to I would never want to make someone feel like they can't tell me or they said too much or now they're afraid to tell.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then because now Michael's his best version he's ever been. So now they're seeing the best version of him. So if I didn't stay and give him that chance, this version, no one would have seen.
Yeah.
I think one of the things to keep in mind is not to alienate the loved one. You know what I mean? The person that you're concerned about.
Yeah.
And to your point, Jana, being able to say, like, I love you no matter what.
Yeah.
Here are my thoughts. I'm worried mm-hmm. about this.
Yeah.
I feel happy about that. But I'm standing on the sidelines here to support you. So that if this person needs to come to you at any time, whether it's to tell you the great news that everything's wonderful or whether it's to tell you, like, I need out and I need help.
Yeah.
You haven't, like, shut that door with judgment.
Yeah.
But you haven't smokescreened it either by not being authentic and saying like I'm worried about this and I have to say it out loud, but I'm in your corner no matter what.
That's good. I think
I think that's great too, and that's kind of what Jana's family did in our situation, where her mother came to me and was basically like, look, if Jana loves you, we're gonna love you.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, we're not going to.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. Her entire family, they're such a close family, they feed off of Jana's feelings, her emotions, her presence.
Yeah.
And that really dictated like how their interaction with me was over the last 2.5 years. So for you to like exactly what Hillary just said, still be there in support and just read off of whoever your friend or whoever mm-hmm. it is, just be like, I'm going off of you, but here are my feelings. I think Hillary hit it on the head because that's what Jan's family did.
And I also think too, for the person that, you know, you're dealing with and kind of me too, we want and need sympathy in those moments. But I think sometimes too much said is also bad.
Yeah.
Because we're putting ourselves in a
what
situation.
You
like, you would be like, why did you involve them? Why did you tell them that? And I'm like,
oh,
I'm looking back, I'd be I actually probably didn't need to do that. And now I've just kind of stirred it more and made it worse.
But you can own that and you can admit that. So that's,
I think in that moment, I wanted people just want to have them like be on your side.
You want people rallied around you because it could be, you don't know, it could be the hardest time of your life. So you want to make sure you've got people on your bench.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's actually a good.
Nice analogy there.
Right? Brings up a good question for Hillary. Because Hillary, you deal with, like you said, a lot of celebrities that maybe in the limelight, maybe more their businesses out there. Do you have a different approach when you're dealing someone that is of celebrity or known rather than maybe a more, you know, private couple dealing with like these issues?
But I mean, I think the macro answer is not really, you know, because when it gets down to it, folks in the public eye or celebrities are the same.
It's the same, right?
Right, as any other person. But I mean, they do bring to the table different issues, like what is it like to have your husband and your business, you know,
everywhere.
Out in the public eye? That is an issue that most people wouldn't have to deal with. So in cases like your scenario, that's a whole other added pressure. So yes, I mean, dealing with that and working through that is certainly something I take on, but kind of like when it gets down to like the guts of a couple, it's so similar.
Right.
It's so similar.
Stars, they're just like us.
Right.
All right, guys. So with our new baby on the way, we are really trying to stay in bed as much as we can. And it's a lot easier to do on our Brooklinen sheets, that's for sure. And just to let you know, Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping.
Oh, that's a fun fact, Michael.
It is a fun fact.
Like
and also,
that.
Another fun fact, Jana, is that they're not all about just sheets. They have towels, robes, candles, sleep masks, even more options for gifts for this holiday season for people. Our Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets we've ever slept on. Now it's time for you to upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer for just our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code JANA at Brooklinen.com. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code JANA at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code JANA, Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever.
Do you have a hard time spelling, babe?
B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N.
I guess I'm teaching Jolie how to spell. Well, here's the deal. Another thing that we're loving, and it's so great because I really am trying to have great household products around our house, because just with, you know, I feel like we've had so many guests on here. They say it's not just about what you put in your body. It's about the products that you have around your house.
And that you put, that you're exposed to.
Yeah, that we're exposed to. So, you know, I started to really go through and I was like, man, I don't know if this surface cleaner is good. But we've always loved Meyer's products. We love Burt's Bees. So anything from
Baby Gannex.
So let me tell you about Grove Collaborative. So it is the perfect place to get all of your household products for a clean and healthy home. So like Mike just said, there's Baby Gannex, there's Meyer's cleaning supplies, sunscreen lotions. They make sure that all of their products are free from animal testing. And the great thing too is it's cheaper. So when I shop with Grove.co, I get auto-scheduled shipments right to my door, and I can even text a real person to get product recommendations. And it's just really great, again, because they're natural, chemical-free products for our house and the baby on the way. And honestly, it's just, it's nice to not have to go to the grocery store.
It is. And Jana's a big advocate for ordering things and having them come to our door. And so the fact that these are all things that we have used on a daily basis, even before we found out about this, has been fantastic.
Yeah. So for a limited time, our listeners who sign up get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift, which I know what it is, and it's really cute, if you place an order of $20 or more. So check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/Jana. That's grove.co/Jana. Hey, Mark, will you read an email for Hillary?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is someone wrote this to Jana, and I think Hillary could probably really help out this person whose name is Joanna. She says, I feel so lost right now. My name is Joanna. I'm almost 24 years old. My boyfriend of 4 years broke up with me, and there's just so much history there. I'm really having a difficult time being without him. I feel like I lost a part of myself. Is there any way to have a podcast about how to get over a heartbreak? He's my first love, my first boyfriend. I need your advice. You're so wonderful, Jana, and your podcasts are inspiring, and I think this would really help me. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your heart's breaking. That's the worst.
Joanna.
Joanna.
I was just thinking about breakups the other day and thinking about how they're really in the realm of grief. You know, this really is a grief for her. I mean, it's not just a breakup, especially when you're with someone for that long. It's like losing a family member. It's a death.
It's devastating.
So the idea or expectation that she would be sort of okay anytime really soon is too lofty at this point. Like, it really is having to grieve that loss and grieve the change in friends and the change of what your daily life feels like and the change of what you imagined your future would be like. So it's a lot of grief and loss and sadness. So I think you have to allow some room for that and do a lot of self-care around that, whatever that might mean for her, what you would do for yourself if you weren't feeling well, you know, physically, you try to do for yourself when you're not feeling well mentally, whether it's like trying to exercise or get more sleep or be with friends or loved family or exercise more, that sort of thing. But giving her the space to really grieve and also trying to start to put together almost like a mental vision board of what her life is going to be like moving forward without this person. Like, what are the pieces of her life that she wants to expand and grow that maybe she didn't in the relationship just because of sheer time or whatever were the issues in that relationship, you know? So starting to have a seed, like a kernel of hope, start to grow so she can create like a new picture of what she's working towards.
I like that a lot. And I also think, obviously, when you're in the middle of it, it's the worst. Breakups are just awful. But at the same time, though, I'm thinking about all my breakups. And I remember I have a diary, too, that I've kept. And sometimes I go back and I go back and I just, it's like, you know, I'm reading how devastated I was from this, you know, from these breakups. But then I look, you know, a year later and I'm a different person. I'm happier. I'm with someone new. And, you know, it's like the doors, it's crazy what happens when doors shut and the windows and the doors
open. And it's so cliche, but you become so much stronger and you grow so much. Like I look at my 16-year-old self. Oh, but like, it's great. Like it's funny. I always go back to that and I'm like, no, something changed. You know what I mean? Like you just become a different, you become stronger than you thought because the days, you know, you feel like it's the end of the world and you don't want to like see the world or oh my God, I watched Sex and the City for 2 weeks straight. I'll never forget my first breakup. I was like 18. The world was ending. My dad was like, get out of bed. But it's, you know, in the moment.
Especially at that age, it's like so young.
Yeah.
We all have a high school sweetheart for sure. But even just in our 20s, you know, my 20s, I was like, I'm never going to find anyone. And then, you know, we break up and it's just awful. But you just learn and you grow so much more about yourself. And I would just embrace that time and embrace the growth that you're going to have for yourself and you know, it's exciting to be like, okay, like then who is my person?
Well, and one thing I always think about is that feeling states never stay the same. Like pick the worst feeling you've ever had in your life and you imagine it would never go away. It always shifts and changes. Always, always, always.
That's like a good one.
No one has ever been able to give me an example where that's not true. It doesn't mean like grief might not carry with you or sadness or hurt or whatever it is, but they never stay exactly the same. So sort of knowing that and believing that will sort of give some hope for the future. And to your point, Jana, I totally agree. There's not a breakup in my own personal history that I can't think of that I didn't learn something significant.
Oh, about. Yeah.
Totally.
Whether it was like a year later or 5 years later or 3 months later. I'm married now. I have two kids. But all of that history and heartbreak that I also hadn't had those moments, like I wouldn't trade one of them.
Right.
And Joanna, if a lot of that too is, you know, relating to other people's stories, if maybe she has friends that have gone through bad breakups, but if this helps, this situation, if Jana and I can go through the pain that we have both felt from our situation, which I mean, during the midst of it, did you ever think it was going to go away?
Never.
Never. Me either.
Ever.
Ever. And so.
And it's still there from time to time.
Right. Which
but
is
it's
exactly
lessened, it lessens over time.
Exactly to Hillary's point. Yeah. Like the grief and stuff like that doesn't just go away. You learn something from it. You become stronger from it.
Yeah.
But
it does lessen.
Being in the midst of that, it lessens. We're not in that anymore. If we can go through that.
Yeah.
I think Joanna can through that grief, go through that pain, and come out on the other side.
Yeah.
I know right now it feels like it won't ever end, like Hillary said. I mean.
Your lobster's out there. Don't worry.
Lobster. Okay, so today's show is sponsored by Talkspace. Again, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time.
Do you know, by the way, sorry not to interrupt you, but how many times I've like needed advice in that moment and, you know, my therapist either is like, well, I can see you next Tuesday. I'm like, I don't want I need now.
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 You're a now kind of person.
I need it right now. And then I get on a blog and then people are telling me all these things when I really need to talk to a therapist.
Absolutely. Or your husband. But better off. Just text a therapist. That means you can improve your mental health even if you have had trouble making time for it in the past, like Jana's struggling with right now when her therapist can't see her. Remember that therapy isn't about just venting your innermost thoughts or digging into childhood memories. It's also about practical everyday strategies for stress management and living a happier life. So again, you don't have to have a current issue. If you just want to bounce an idea off of somebody, go to Talkspace.
And it's an app. So there's therapists on there that are professional therapists. They have their degree and you just download the app, make sure you have internet connection and you're set for great mental health.
And these therapists are available 24/7 and the app has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges that we all face on a daily basis. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Jana and use the code Jana to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's Jana and Talkspace.com/Jana.
So I guess I have to say something really fast. Michael kind of gets jealous when my FabFitFun boxes come to the door. And
super jealous.
You do. And he's like, well, I want a box. So I'll never forget the day that our producer, Amy, texts me and says, Can you pick out a man crate for Michael? And I'm like, oh, a man crate. Like,
I've been dying to do this spot.
Like, what is this? So I go on man crates and I start looking at all these different crates. And there are so many different ones. Like, and you, by the way, you guys, again, Michael's been dying to do this spot because it's truly so authentic to his needs. So anyways, so I'm going through and I'm like, okay, there's a crate for whiskey. There's a crate for cooking. There's like a like make your own knife. There's all like, I mean,
I feel
so,
like a horse in the stable right now, just ready for Janet to open the gate so I can just start talking about it.
Like, I know, but I'm like, there's all these different things. And I'm like, you know what, Amy, this is kind of overwhelming because, you know, Mike likes to cook. He likes whiskey. He likes knives. He likes these things. But then I saw this one crate and I was like, you know what? He's probably going to pick this crate, but I'm just going to let him like choose whatever one he wants. And guess which one he chose? Michael, go for it. You're out of the stable, baby.
So yeah, Jana was overwhelmed. And so going through it, I went through, there were, I think, 115 man crates total on the site when I looked. There's probably even more now. Actually, there are even more. So there's over 100 different types of man crates.
Oh, are there really?
Yes.
Wow.
Trust me, I looked through all of them.
And
the
no
one
doubt.
That I found to get.
Drum roll, please, for which one did Mike get?
Zombie Annihilation Kit, baby. It came, that's right. It came with like, an 11-inch machete, a tomahawk, a 6-inch knife, Gorilla Glue, duct tape,
like,
a book for Zombie Apocalypse Survival Guide, the same author of World War Z. He knows what he's talking about. So I am prepped and ready.
I was like, why do you? And I knew it. The second I saw Zombie Annihilation, I was like, I bet you he's going to pick that one. And that's the one you picked. I
absolutely.
Was like, oh my God, do I
with
know
with a
my
smile
husband?
On my face, I texted Jana back. I said, I want the Zombie Annihilation man crate now. It's just stuff that I would never buy myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that's fun to have as a man. And so, especially for this holiday season, there are so many options for your father, for your father-in-law.
Yeah, we got my
brother.
We got my brother the whiskey kit.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options for that male in your life that you don't know what to get. I'm telling you, you will find something. There's
this
you can
is
create
the greatest your, thing ever.
You can really create is. Your own knife on there. You can open the crate. You can create your own knife.
You're so excited
I'm
right
so
now.
I'm so excited.
You need to calm down.
I mean, you. Can, I mean, anything. Exotic meats where they have ostrich, alligator, all that kind of jerky.
Wow.
Grilling, different types of grilling.
I will say it's really
packages.
Okay, Michael. Okay, calm down. I will say it's really hard to shop for the men in your life. I mean, especially for like my dad, my brother. I'm like, I don't know what to get you. But I mean, this truly is the place to go. Man crate. Go ahead, Michael. Why don't you just
yes, please. Let me finish. And most gifts ship in a sealed wooden crate with a crowbar. And so you have to, it was a gift to me, so I had to pry it open with this crowbar.
You felt
and
like a man, didn't you?
It is legit. I didn't feel like a man. That took me a little while, but that was part of the fun. That's part of the novelty, and it was such a great time, and I really enjoyed it. Just remember, with man crates, you're giving more than a gift. You're giving a gift experience that you will all remember, and I definitely remember my first man crate. Every man crate comes with 100% satisfaction guarantee, and I can vouch for that, because I also have the whiskey man crate as well, so they're 2 for 2 for me. I'm on my way to over 100.
Okay, Michael, get to it.
listeners to this show, buy one gift and you will get the second gift for 25% off when you go to mancrates.com/wine, W-H-I-N-E. This offer is only for the holidays. Again, buy one gift and get the second 25% off at mancrates.com/wine. Mancrates.com/wine. Again, W-H-I-N-E. Go get one.
Can we talk about anxiety for a second?
Yes.
So I have really, really, really bad anxiety. Mm. I had PTSD from an incident when I was 21. And so Michael and I got into an argument last night on the car ride home from our friend's house because we were talking about, I brought up something to our friends and I said, I'm starting to have anxiety. And I brought this up with my therapist too, because, and she wanted me to share it with Michael, that I'm having anxiety about the C-section that you know, we're going to have. And I had a really tough C-section with Jolie. I freak out. Who do you want to explain, since you feel like what you said to me last night?
Basically, that was bad. But basically, Jana starts to get anxiety about the birth and being in the hospital and the pain. And then so when we had Jolie, she was like, I need like the epidural. I need the epidural. Like, kind of like screaming at the doctors. She
gets screaming at the
doctor. Not screaming, but you're anxious. You're revved up. You're like, hey, I need the epidural. You get the epidural, then you start freaking out because you can't feel anything.
So I don't like to feel like it was this weirdest feeling in the world to me not to be able to feel my legs and from, you know, waist down. I was like, I don't like this feeling. Like, and my heart starting to race. And I was like, I don't want it anymore. And he's like, well, you just asked for it. And I'm like, okay, but I like, and then his energy gives me more anxiety. And with the problem with this conversation, and I'll just say this, is he goes, how can I be helpful with your anxiety? And this is last night. And he was so, it's all in your head. And
eventually, again, just like it was in the hospital with Jolie, I don't automatically go there. It's you don't understand. You get like, you cannot be rationed with
you
when
you
get in
that
place.
I like that feeling though.
No, I'm not saying you do. I'm not saying you purposely do it. I'm just saying when you are in that super anxious space, yeah, you're getting hot right now.
Gloves are coming off.
You cannot be rationed with. So,
but I need you to stay calm and then maybe I can.
Right. And that is my job.
But he doesn't stay calm. And he's like, well, you have to prepare yourself. I go, I am preparing myself for the uncomfortable. I know it's going to suck. But I'm still going to have anxiety. It doesn't just go away. He's like, well, I don't know, because it's just all in your head. And I'm like, yeah, I hate that. I hate having to like already freak out about anxiety and probably
and
have a panic attack
and
someone yelling on top of me.
The mic.
I was like, and you didn't even, I go, and you know what? You just made it. Now I don't even want to talk to you about my anxiety because now you just made it worse. And now you're yelling at me because, well, if I can't give you what you want. And it's like, you know what? Never mind. I'm not going to tell you how I feel about it, and now I don't feel it supported, and I'm going to have an anxiety attack, and I'm going to work through it for myself, because you're going to get heightened. But he basically thinks I'm crazy. He's like, because he doesn't know what an anxiety attack feels like, and those people make me feel crazy. You do that to Ty?
No, I'm like the mic, but I am the calm one. So like, Ty has really bad anxiety, and when he gets that anxiety, he looks to me to be his rock, and I'm his rock. But then after 6 years, I'm like, okay, we know how to do this. Let's breathe. You know what I mean? I'm like, every time I can't be there to hold your hand. If you have an anxiety attack and I'm there, you know what I mean? So I'm in the middle because I stay calm, but then like, I want to go into the bathroom and cry. And then I want to come out and be like, I'm calm, I'm cool. You know what I mean? Cause I don't want to freak out in front of him because I am his rock. And so I'm like in the middle because sometimes I want to scream at him. Sure. But I know I don't want him to think that I think he's crazy.
That's the thing. And he makes me feel crazy.
Because I do say.
And I already feel crazy for feeling my anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I'm here to talk about this.
Okay. We're all just like sweating.
I know. I'm like sweating. And I was so. I called you an a-hole last night. It's been a long time since I've called you a word.
It has been a long time.
Yeah. And I'm sorry for calling you that, but you, that was rude. You asked me for what I needed. I told you what I needed. And then you got heightened. And then you just made my anxiety 10
times
worse.
Can I just explain just so Hillary
Sorry, Hillary. We're still not letting her talk.
Because this was literally last night. I'm sorry, Hillary.
Yeah, this is very fresh. So
I just want to say, again, last night was an example of I was calm at the beginning. And that's why I said, what can I do to help with your anxiety? And we start talking about it. And then we got on topic of if you need something to go ask the doctors for you. And I said, yes, I understand that. And I will go ask the doctors if you need something. And her gyno said, if you need something, I'll give you this or whatever.
His tone was not that.
Initially, I was. I was like, okay. I was like, yes, I can go ask him. But let me just prepare you where you might not get the outcome you want. You might be asking for something. They're like, hey, medically, we can't give you this.
And then I would say, okay. And then you're like, but that's not what you do. And
that's
I'm like,
not what you do.
Okay, but if the doctor says no, that's no. There's nothing I can do. At least saying, hey, you know what? I went and I asked, and they said you can't have this right now. So I need you to stay calm with me. And he keeps going, but, and then this is building my anxiety. Now I'm getting more anxious.
Okay, she's gonna go into labor, and I'm freaking out.
Yeah, so let's get. Yeah.
Okay,
let's get to this quickly.
Okay. Ow, I'm actually having a contraction.
Oh my god, I'm coming.
All right, we gotta get through this fast.
Okay, good.
So this is a good moment to kind of do a little psychoeducation for Michael and for your listeners, because anxiety is a real thing, like a real physical condition. And we treat it the same way we would think about treating like bronchitis or pneumonia or any other physical condition. It is not just in the head. I mean, obviously it has roots in the mind, but it becomes a physical condition and it becomes out of the person's control. So it's not something that Jana can choose. It doesn't mean that you're like void of all responsibility and you don't do the best you can to be graceful and kind and respectful during those moments. But I think for you, Michael, being able to conceptualize it like that, that it's not something that she can just choose not to have, might be a good place to start. I think when you guys have that kind of conversation, the information that you're coming back at her with is not relevant for that conversation, because you guys haven't created a foundation about how you're going to deal with this, right? Mm-hmm. So even though it might be a reality that you guys come up with a plan and you implement it and Jana freaks out and doesn't do anything that she says she's going to do and does everything you say that she's going to do, right? That sort of is for the next conversation. But like the first conversation, to create a safety zone, so for her to feel like, okay, at least my anxiety can start feeling contained or at least attended to or validated, has to happen first. And that like didn't get to happen. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, then you can have the next conversation, which is like, okay, so if we have this safety plan and you go outside of it or start coming at me or start doing what you did last time or whatever, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. But the first conversation kind of has to be more like, tell me all about what you're afraid of, mm-hmm. and what I can do for you. And your job is just go, okay, for that first conversation, because that anxiety is I just had a baby 7 months ago, and I had.
Are you serious? You look amazing.
Thank you.
Clap.
Thank you so much. But I had a planned C-section, and I had that same experience, and it is really unnerving to feel like you're paralyzed from half your body down. It's really unnerving. So I think most women feel that way anyway. Uh-huh. And then if you have a history of anxiety and it's tied to an incident that created PTSD for you.
Feeling trapped.
Yes. That runs really deep. So you're right. Your fear that it might be... she might be impulsive or not behave as you guys plan is probably a reality, because you have this history and who knows how it's going to go. But being able to feel like you're united on like the idea of how it's going to go, and then coming up with contingency plans after, I think is a place to start. And Michael, I'm noticing you're
he might
slightly be rolling his eyes at me. I can't.
No, I kind of wanted to thank you for bringing that, because I was going to say, why are you calling BS to this?
I'm not
because you
BS
still
to
think
it.
That it's something that I can control.
Okay. All right. Here, let me just say this.
So thank you for calling him out, because I was going to too.
Saying it's not a choice. You can't control it. Okay. That's what's being said. What about...
You have no idea what anxiety feels like and how people deal with anxiety.
Listen to me for a second. I'm not doubting you. I'm not. I'm just saying, let's use the example of addiction. Let's use addictions. Okay. People are addicted to something. But it still comes down to a physical choice to what decisions you make, regardless of addiction being a mental disorder or not.
Why are you getting so mean?
I think I have a way of maybe coming in, because I do have a question, kind of like what Mike's saying. What is the line between, obviously, Jana has anxiety, and like I know that Ty has anxiety, but is there a line between anxiety and then not that... He's mental, but then, okay, not only, so you have anxiety and now you're getting in your own head, because like he doesn't like to fly, okay? So we're flying and now all he's talking about is his anxiety and that he gets anxiety. You know, let's not talk. I know you have anxiety. So you know what I mean? What's the medium between, okay, let's accept that you have anxiety, but now, because I'm very like weird when it comes to those things, I'm like, okay, let's listen to a podcast. Let's close our, I try to be like, okay, let's not say the A word. And let's see what you know what I mean? Because I'm mental in my own right. So I'm like, I'm all in my mind. So sometimes I'm like, is there a borderline to where like, okay, maybe you're making it worse right now?
Of course. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't get to protect yourself as the partner of someone with anxiety. It doesn't mean you just have to give yourself over to the whim of that person. And, and to your point, you know, talking about addiction, if someone's addicted to drugs and their behavior is completely destructive, it's not like we just stand back and go, but they have a disease. That's okay. Right? I mean, we make decisions to draw boundaries, and we even have to separate our lives from them, be out of contact with them until they get healthy. I'm certainly not suggesting we just follow the whim of someone that's struggling, whether it's with anxiety or addiction. But I mean, we do get to protect ourselves. You can certainly suggest to him, let's think about not saying it. How about music? How about a podcast? And if it's not resonating with him, then you can say, you know what, love you and I'm here for you, but I need a break from this energy, so
I just want to try and fix it. I mean, even if she, you know, and I'm sure Mike feels, it's hard watching someone and not, because you're right, it's not like they have a cough or there's nothing I can, and I'm control freak. Yeah. And so when I can't, it gives me, I'm like,
that's what it is. It's if I try, and that's the thing, I am empathetic towards Jana feeling this way, and that's what it is. I don't want to see her like that. But it's when I try to help, but yet she won't, I feel like she won't take what I have to say. She has to hear it from a doctor. She has, like, if I'm like, hey, honey, you're going to be okay. Well, you don't know that. Go get a doctor. Like, I'm like, I'm telling you, you're going to be fine. Like, why don't, I'm your husband.
But why
I love
can't you,
you
just support what I need in that moment for my anxiety?
Why can't you just listen to me at the same time?
Because what, if, why can't you just, I just, I'm like actually really getting upset.
But why doesn't my voice matter in those moments?
Why will you just not support what I need?
So you need a doctor to tell you that you're okay.
Sure. In that moment, maybe that's what I need.
What's feeling so upsetting for you right now?
Well, I feel claustrophobic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just feel like stuck. Like, I feel like you make me feel like I'm fucking crazy for having anxiety. I don't want to feel this way.
Mike, I'm curious. What if it is true that for her, she sometimes does need an outside party, like a doctor or something, to tell her it's going to be okay? Like, what if that's true? What does that bring up for you?
It brings up, because it'll be on something super elementary, and it's like, I'm like,
in your opinion, it
makes me feel like what I have to say doesn't matter, and that it doesn't carry any weight. Like, what do you, and like, honestly, it's like, I'm your husband. Do you think I would possibly put you in a situation mm-hmm. that is harmful for you? Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't. I'm your husband. I want to see you okay. And so I'm going to make sure in all that I can control that you're okay.
Yeah, it makes you feel somehow ineffective or not relevant or something in those moments. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of from an outsider's perspective, it's not being in the emotion of it, you can see both sides. I mean, it makes sense, right, that for Jana, that it's so important to be able, in those moments where she feels completely panicked and like almost traumatized, to be able to get what she needs, even if what she needs is something that you don't totally understand or doesn't resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow not being able not to take it personally, you know. But it really makes sense to me why that comes up for you. You're her husband. You want to protect her, and you want her to feel your love and like your focus on her, that like, I got you. And right. That sense that the I got you isn't enough makes you feel impotent or something,
right?
This
is like your main anxiety right now, right? You know what I mean? Like, usually it's not like...
I mean, like, I'll have anxiety attacks. I can work through an anxiety attack now.
He's there for... You know what I mean?
Like, but there are times when, like, I just want to know that they can land the plane.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, just... Like,
if it's one big thing, does it take one thing for him to do? And then it's like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, it's just...
Because it's not every time.
Just him either asking or... But saying no to my fear or to my safety net of at least asking, he's just saying no to it right off the bat. And that gives me more anxiety.
When have I said no?
Well, exactly. When you're like, you're fine. I'm your husband. Like, you're not going to die. And I'm like, but can you just, I'm asking you to feel safe, and I'm asking you to do something to make me feel safe.
Can I ask a question? There's just a question. What about you hearing from me, your husband? What about you hearing from me? Hey, the plane's not going to crash. We're going to be okay. Hey, we're not going to get sick. Hey, there's not going to be an earthquake. What about hearing something from me isn't enough for you?
I'm not saying it's not enough, but...
But what is it? Like, why don't you take what I say? Like, I'm just curious.
For my anxiety, sometimes I just need to know that... I don't know how to explain it. Like,
I think what's hard to accept from Mike's standpoint is that the anxiety is bigger than you in those moments, that it really isn't about you, that it's not mm-hmm. about your effectiveness as a husband, it's not about her love for you or her trust in you, that it really is about something that's overtaken her, and she needs a set of things to help contain her.
Yeah.
And one of them is you, and one of them is you being her advocate, it sounds
and
like.
Yeah, and if it can't happen, then I need you just to be calm and reassuring, and again, knowing, not making me feel crazy on top of it, because that's the worst part. And because people that don't have anxiety don't understand that they feel like they're going to die and their heart's going to explode and they're going to pass out. And I mean, there's so many times I get so heightened that I'll pass out because I get so, but I mean, I've been able to like work through it and, you know, do all the things that I've learned from therapy and the counting and going outside or all like so many different things, but sometimes I can't control it. And I just need that. I need you not to get upset and make it 10 times worse, because then I don't feel supported. And then I feel more heightened. And that's how I felt in the car last night. And then I felt trapped in the car. I literally wanted to get out of the car on the expressway because I felt so trapped that you just weren't being supportive at all. And then I'm like, I don't even, now I'm terrified of the C-section. I'm terrified of it. Now I'm terrified of being a baby or being crazy or, and that just makes my anxiety a million times worse.
So I would say that since we're like on a timeline, with the baby coming like any moment, I maybe normally wouldn't say this because I just met you, Mike, but I'm just going for the intervention.
Shut up
like,
and say
right
okay, Mike.
Now. Yeah. No, I would say this. I would say for you in this moment, since it's so big, your baby's coming and you have this.
Well, I know the experience I had with Jolie and how I did freak out. So I don't want that to happen again, but it is a trauma kind of that's in my head that happened.
Yeah. I would say like for you, and I say this to couples all the time to different parties of the couple, depending on the situation, like it, you kind of have to be the hero in this moment, you know, in the hospital with her and sort of setting aside the part that's your, I don't want to call it agenda, but that's about you, you know, that sense of like, wait, she's rejecting me or somehow I'm not being useful to her. Because that's not what it's about at all. It doesn't sound like Janet. It just sounds like there's a specific set of things that you need to feel contained. And being able to say like, you know what, I'm just going to give this to her. You know, I'm just going to give this to her and it's not going to be about me in this moment. And I'm going to kind of lean into the belief that like this woman loves me. Like she chose me. She's here after all you guys have been through. Like she's here in the biggest way. She's having your baby boy, right? You know, and just being able to show up for her in that moment. And that kind of stuff is much easier when there's that goodwill and a lot of emotional money in the bank. You know, it's like, all right, I got this. I can put my like a personal agenda aside. And you guys are like, you know, a little wobbly in that front. But like it would be a good time to practice because it would be so lovely if this could be a different experience in that regard.
Yeah. I just think it's hard for people that don't have anxiety to understand. You know,
I totally agree.
And that's where I think it's frustrating.
It is. Yeah.
When you said, oh, Mike, are you rolling your eyes? And I'm like, he's going, ugh, like.
I wasn't rolling my eyes.
Well, but we could tell that you were
not believing. I was having thoughts.
Right. Yeah. But your thoughts are that anxiety is a mind thing and it's we're crazy is basically how you make it seem.
That's not at all. I'm asking questions. Yes, it doesn't make sense to me because I don't suffer from anxiety or lack of control in that realm. So I'm curious because for like seriously, like in my logical brain, it makes sense. Like I'm your husband. If I say it's going to be okay, it's probably going to. It's not a medical question. Like, you know, if it's something seriously medical, obviously I'd ask a professional. But something is, you know,
when people that suffer from anxiety, sometimes that's just not enough for us. We need that extra security and safety because we don't believe that. And then our minds just get worse. So.
I guess, how do you know that when it stops? Like, how do you know, like, the doctor is enough? Or do you need something else above that? Do you need something else above that? Do you need a report that says that this happens?
If I need a doctor, then that's what I need to tell me. Just like, you know, whatever. If I need.
All in all, first, I want to say I'm sorry that you got worked up and emotional.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I wasn't as understanding as you needed me to be in the moment last night and today. And I greatly appreciate Hillary being here today because I think she put it well where for right now, since we're like days away, I will go into it putting my agenda or feelings aside about this. And it's something we can pick up way after the baby's here. Just so I can better understand and better help. And that maybe, possibly, you can understand my mindset as well. But for the time being, in the immediate future, I will work very hard to remain patient. And if you need the pizza delivery guy to tell you you're going to be okay, I will go freaking find him and have him tell you you're okay.
Don't do something else.
Is it that simple as him remaining calm? Because my daughter goes through anxiety attacks.
How old is she?
12.
I
feel like I cannot do anything right.
It's hard to reason.
I feel like I've tried everything. And yeah, you can't reason, so I'm just going to hang back. And then she's mad about that. And then I try to really help, and she's mad about that. And I feel like I feel so powerless and impotent, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. So what should he do, and what should anybody do in a situation where someone they love is going through something like that?
Yeah, I mean, in my situation, at least Jana is able to be sort of clear
of what I need.
Right,
yeah.
About what you need. And so that's obviously the roadmap you want to follow if you're feeling up to
yes.
it. And in your case, that's really hard. You have a young daughter who probably can't articulate what exactly she needs because she doesn't know and she's so young.
Right.
And
a lot of this conversation really hit home for me.
And a lot of times people cannot articulate, even adults, what they need when they're having a panic attack or when they're feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. And it's imperfect. I mean, I wish I had like a really nice, beautiful answer to give you because those situations are so hard and it's so painful to watch a loved one, especially a daughter of a child.
And I, like Mike, I don't suffer from that. And it's so hard to relate to that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's the situation where how much can they control it? Because she doesn't do this at school. She doesn't do this in public. Mm-hmm. She does it at
It's like, am I triggering you? Like, because that's how I feel. Because like sometimes, Ty, I'm like, oh my God, is it me? Like, am I doing this to you? And then I want to start crying, but then I'm calm. And then I run to the kitchen and then I start crying, but then I turn around. And I think I'm getting an anxiety attack right now. Like, you know what I mean? Because I feel the same way. It's like, okay, am I making it better or worse? Because as a husband or as a girlfriend or as a parent, I want to make you feel on top of the world. And if I can't do that, now it's in my own. Now I'm pissed.
Especially as a parent.
Like, I mean, I think you, and because you don't understand and you guys want to be able to help, you want to be able to help your daughter, you want to be able to help, you know, your wife, you want to be able to help your boyfriend and the person that's dealing with anxiety, you just got to remain calm. And they might look crazy. I know I look crazy. I do know that. But the person just has to remain a steady, calm rock. You'll never understand what anxiety feels like. Mm-hmm. And it's so even hard for us to articulate it. But just to say, I'm here for you with whatever you need. So just let me know what you need. And again, we don't know what we need, but just saying that you're there, staying calm. And not being like, well, I'm trying to help you, and you're doing this. Yeah.
Which I'm passed out. To at some point. Eventually.
Yeah, and everybody of course, does. Because everybody it's, does. Because you want to help, and you're like, I'm trying to help. But again, that just makes it. I mean, that worse. Made me have an anxiety attack in the car last night because it made it 10 times worse when the person gets heightened over us. Because then we're like, oh, we are crazy. We're, oh my God. Yeah. You know, it makes it worse. So just as hard it is for you guys to not understand, just try to remain calm. And try to just say, I'm here for you. You know, if you need to help me to breathe or let's count together or I can walk away.
Lately, I found that calm and mm-hmm. hardcore empathy mm-hmm. is really mm-hmm. The best move.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's also a challenge when one of us is going for empathy and one of us is getting frustrated. Yeah. And then it switches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's.
Sometimes too much, too. It's sometimes, like last night when I was having anxiety attack, I had to walk outside. I just had to feel cold on my feet. Or I'll put cold on my wrist. Like, that helps me, too. Oh, those are certain. I'll give you
how'd
the tips.
How did you find that, though?
What do
how
you
did
mean?
You figure out that cold on your feet helps you?
Well, a therapist kind of gave me some tips that kind of get me out of my head. So sometimes it'll count. So I'll breathe in 3, exhale 3. Or I'll sit in a room and I'll look at things that I've never noticed before. That gets me out of my anxiety.
Mm, that's interesting.
That's a good one.
Like, I'd be like, oh, I've never noticed this piece of paper here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's one. Being outside, putting cold, because I get really hot when I'm anxious, and your heat and cold right there on your wrist. So mm-hmm. I'll put like a cold bottle of water or something cold on my wrist. Neck's really good too. So yeah, just certain things like that help. But and then just having somebody calm next to you that doesn't make you feel crazy.
You know, and I think why Jana's right and everything you just said is particularly for a kid is that they internalize that safety net that even though it might not look like you're being effective, you know, over time they internalize that you're safe and that they can be messy and that you're there with them and love them through it and are calm. And like it starts to build, you know, a certain level of self-esteem and self-worth and sense of stability mm-hmm. over time. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a little whisper. It doesn't just like, oh, I'm better tomorrow or something. But
And to kind of go off what you're saying too, Michael and Mark, if you guys... If I said, hey, I need you, I really need you to, you know, ask a doctor for this and or something, or if I'm having anxiety attack, you don't come back with something harsh and you're like, okay, I'll do that. Because then that becomes, then you're safe. Because right now I don't feel safe because I don't feel like you're going to make me feel crazy. Or I feel like I have to work through my anxiety myself because you're not going to be there for me to understand.
I feel like that's also like a man, because like. The two guys, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's different if you're a guy dealing with, you know what
but,
I mean?
But you're right. But I'm saying, but if they were to like be more
like if you
empathetic
came to me,
and yeah, if it came to you, you'd 100%.
I feel like it's a girl thing to be like, oh, you know
but
what I mean?
But if they did that, then I would fall more in your arms. Your daughter might fall more into having that safety with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get upset right away.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, okay, my husband did. Then I can actually, I don't need to have my other A, B, and C routes because you're telling me, and I know that you would. So, I don't know.
My top 50 parenting regrets are how I've dealt with her anxiety over the years.
I'm so sorry.
Just we've tried, you know, you just try different angles, different.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's, yes, yeah.
I can't imagine how much more difficult that is from a parent to a child because you are the parent. So like even my rationale with Jana, I'm like, I'm your husband. Like, I'm not going to steer you wrong. Even that's like tenfold compared to right. I'm your parent. Mm-hmm. I'm your father. I'm not going to do anything to put you in harm's way.
Yeah.
Why can't you, you know, wrap your head around this rationale that I'm explaining to you? But that's heavy.
Well, you always get to go back to your kid and say, hey, I wish I'd done that differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's one thing I always talk about with parents. You have? Is to say, like, I wish I'd been calmer. I didn't show up for you the way
that I thought.
Because
when it's over, she's very apologetic. Which isn't necessary.
Of course, but because we feel bad. We do. We feel bad. I'm like, I'm so sorry. That was so stupid. And because we feel crazy and we feel sorry.
And then I'm apologetic because I, of course, it's things I regret too. It's just.
Well, with both Mike and Mark, the intention is total love, you know, total wish to be there and help and hold. I mean, that is clear.
No
question. It's just like the delivery system is different, you know.
Pun intended.
That's right. Yeah. It's amazing fun. But, right, I mean, that's a good thing to remember, too, is that at the core for both of you guys is a desire to love and be there.
Yeah.
Well, Jana, I wish I would have handled things different last night.
Thanks, babe.
And I know you're still concerned now, but I'm dedicated to whatever you need in the hospital, that this experience is a lot better.
And other anxiety issues. Moving forward.
Yay. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. I can't wait. This is so exciting. Great.
Yeah. Okay. Hillary, where can my listeners find you?
At drhillarygolcher.com.
Thank you for being here because this is obviously
amazing.
That was like,
That
was heavy.
That was heavy.
Thank you,
Hillary.
Thank
you so much. I really appreciate it. Okay. So next year, we're going to be traveling a lot, babe.
A lot.
Yeah.
What's new?
I know. I mean, with our house being built in Nashville and then obviously recording the podcast here and everything else we got going on. Lots of back and forth.
And a lot of carry-on luggage.
I know.
Which I never used to carry on until I met Jana. She taught me how to pack.
Yeah, because he would put his shoes in the suitcase and be like, my bag is so full. And I'm like, that's because you just put them right in the middle of your bag. Like, he doesn't know how to pack. But
no, I do.
Luckily, he knows how. And I got to tell you, away luggage is really great because I have a really hard time finding a place to charge my phone in the airport. I'm constantly walking around trying to find an empty plug, and especially in some of those smaller airports, it's a challenge. So what's great about away luggage is that they have a TSA compliant ejectable battery built into your carry-on, so you can charge your phone with the suitcase.
This is huge with having the kids and having their, you know, devices as well. To stay, keep everyone charged and happy.
Yeah, and they have a removable, washable laundry bag.
Which is my favorite part.
It's because how many times
when we're somewhere, we have designate like one of our bags.
Yeah.
The one compartment is like the dirty clothes.
And it's always your bag.
It's always my bag.
But it's just so great because you can remove it and then you just throw it right in the washer. It's so great. And again, it's the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For any destination, get your loved ones the perfect size away luggage in any color because the holiday season, everyone wants to get away. So for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Jana and use promo code Jana during checkout. Again, that's $20 off your first suitcase. Visit awaytravel.com/Jana and use promo code Jana during checkout. Oh, that was heavy, y'all.
That was tough.
I can't believe I like bawled. Dude, no, I feel so stupid.
No. What?
Oh, I couldn't help it because I was getting anxiety, or emotions around anxiety, just it was all in my chest. And I was just like, oh, here it comes. It's coming. It's just going to come.
It's a big time right now.
It's hard.
And
but it's just, again, it's so hard. And I do empathize with all three of you because you all deal with someone that have anxiety.
You're three against one right now.
I really
that's
truly
what's crazy.
Am.
Three against one. No, that's what's so crazy. It's like, so if you think about it, you're right. Every single person in this room is dealing with. So like, it's so out there. Everyone's dealing with someone who.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's just, I mean, so I do empathize with you guys, but it's just, I will say, from the person again that has anxiety, you don't want to feel this way. It's not fun. But if you guys can just please try to remain as calm as possible, that would be awesome.
I'm working on it.
That would just be so great. A huge thank you to all of our sponsors today for the show. We've got Brooklinen. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Jana at brooklinen.com. Grove Collaborative, my listeners who sign up, get an amazing free 30-day supply of Seedling, Grove's tree-free paper towels, toilet paper, and tissues, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more.
Big thank you to Talkspace. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/Jana and use code Jana to get $45 off your first month.
Go ahead.
A huge thank you to Man Crates. Remember, this holiday season, buy one gift and you will get the second gift for 25% off when you go to mancrates.com/wine, W-H-I-N-E.
Away luggage for $20 off a suitcase. Visit awaytravel.com/Jana and use promo code Jana during checkout. Amazon Fire TV, head to www.amazon.com/windown. Again, that's amazon.com/windown to order a Fire TV of your very own. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
But whew.
What a show. Well, thanks for everyone opening up.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thanks to Mark. And
yeah.
I know a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this one.
There's going
to
be a lot of response on this one for sure.
Yeah. And I would love for you guys to email us too, how you guys deal with anxiety. If you're dealing with someone who has anxiety or vice versa, we would love to maybe circle back around on this. And especially if you have maybe kids too that are dealing with anxiety. I know actually my niece, she's 13 and she just had her first panic attack too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or tips.
Yeah, so any tips? But tips, Jana Kramer at iHeartMedia.com. And
should we have a what's our thing of the week?
Oh,
our,
you know what?
Challenge of the week.
The challenge of the week is just
should be around anxiety.
Be calm.
Just be calm.
That should be the challenge.
If someone's freaking out, just
everyone
just
be zen.
Be
somebody's rock this week.
Be someone's. I like that.
Be somebody's rock.
All right, well, honey, you're gonna be mine because the next time you guys listen to us, we're gonna.
Probably.
You're having a baby.
Have a baby. Oh. It's a boy.
It's a boy. We're having a baby.
We had a baby. It's a boy.
Had a baby. It's a boy. Best 1-800 collection.
That's not a reference a lot of people get.
It's so great.
Love it.
That was the best commercial ever. It was Jim. He had a baby.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Who is that, honey?
All right. Well, Sarah, thanks for coming on and also sharing Mark. Mike, this was a good one.
This was fun, guys.
We will be talking to you guys next from the hospital room.
I can't wait.
Wind down later.